ourselves to desert places, broken homes and hopeless cases. From every prayer on desperate knees, time and time again you'll see what it can do. Oh, any time that you
thank you. Last week we talked about the myths about membership and the different ideas that people have about what membership in a church means and what Scripture says that it is, or what Scripture implies about church membership. Well, today we're going to talk about something that I referred to last week, and that was covenant membership. And we're going to look at practical covenant membership and what that means. So as we start this, I want us to look at Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And somebody may say, well, if we are a New Testament church, why are we looking at the Old Testament? Well, honestly, you cannot fully understand what the New Testament teaches without understanding what's said in the Old Testament first. The New Testament is built upon the Old Testament, and it's a completion of what was started in the Old Testament, and what God says in the Old Testament still applies to us today. So look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And if you will, once you get there, if you would please stand as I read God's word. And starting in verse 9 of chapter 4, this is what it says. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, please bless the reading of your word. Speak to us through me today and through your word. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I want us today to look at practical reasons for a covenant membership in a church. And we find those here in this passage. The number one reason, practical reason, to have a covenant membership or have membership in the church is this: our work becomes easier and more productive. Our work becomes easier and more productive. Look what it says back in verse 9 of this passage. Two are better than one because they have a good return on their labor. Let's face it. Many times we face jobs that we end up doing by ourselves. How much easier would it be to have somebody helping you do that? We had one of our freezers broke. I mean, it died. The compressor's gone. And so somebody said, hey, we have this freezer. Last time we had it plugged in, it worked great. Do you want it? We said, sure, we'll take it. Well, we went to go pick it up, and we found out the last time it was plugged in was 10 years ago. So I told the guy, he says, I don't know if it works or not. The last time I plugged it in 10 years ago, it worked fine. I said, well, chances are it's probably not going to be working now. But we will take it, because he didn't have any way of getting it gone out of this old house that he was having demolished. So I said, if it doesn't work, we'll take it to the dump. If it works, great. If it doesn't, okay. So we took it. We plugged it in. Guess what? It didn't work. So yesterday, Faith and Timothy, I never unloaded it off the trailer. I just pulled the trailer up on the carport and said, okay, we're going to leave it there, and I'm not going to unload it if we don't know it. So anyway, so yesterday, Faith and Timothy and I went to the dump. I could have unloaded that trailer by myself. I could have pushed it, pushed the freezer off the trailer, pushed it to where I needed. But Faith and Timothy helped me. And it made it a lot easier having those two help push and pull and everything like that than me trying to do it by myself. Now, in the life of a church, practical part, and honestly, is membership. We're here to help each other. The things that God has called us to do as a church, we cannot do one person by themselves. I cannot do what I'm supposed to do without having people help me do it. And members of the church come together to help each other. And by doing that, we accomplish more and we have fun doing it. It's not a strain on anybody when we come together. That's the first practical part of covenant membership. The second is we have the protection, the support, and the correction of our fellow members. Now, this is the one that gets a little bit tricky, but let me show you where it says this in Scripture. Look at verses 12 through 10a. It says this, "For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him alone, two can resist him." Now here's the thing. We can all fall. We can physically fall. We can emotionally fall. We can spiritually fall. We can all fall, every single one of us. And part of covenant membership means that we are going to help lift the one that falls up, whether it's in their life, where they make a mistake, they choose to do what they want to do instead of what God is saying to do, they need to be lifted up. I gave the example last week of how the predators seek out the small and the sick and the injured, and that's the one they go after. But in a herd of buffalo, they put those in the center and they surround. And you guys know there's more people killed by Cape buffaloes every year than there are in lions in Africa. Did you guys know that? We think of lions as being the ultimate predator. And it is. But there are more people killed by Cape buffalo in Africa than there are lions. Why? Because the way the Cape buffaloes do. They do just like American bisons. They put the young and the sick and the weak in the middle, and they face the enemy, horns out, and they're ready to fight. And they will fight, and they will charge, and they will protect what is theirs. But if one of them's by themselves, guess what the lion's going to do? He's going to take it out. That's what Satan wants to do to us. He wants us to feel like we're alone, that we have nobody to depend on. And he will attack us and attack us and attack us. But if we stick together, we can overcome him. What does it say in the New Testament? Resist the devil and he will do what? Flee. But let's face it. When we feel all alone, we don't feel like resisting anybody, do we? When we feel like we're left out, that we're all by ourselves, but covenant membership says, no. That's not what happens. Membership means accountability. Not only are we accountable to each other, but we're accountable to God. And we're accountable to hold each other accountable to God. Lifting a fallen companion means accountability. Keeping each other warm is accountability. Resisting the enemy together is accountability. Do you guys get the idea? And then we have God to bind us and strengthen us. Verse 12b, a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. But I want you to look and see what Jesus says in Matthew 18:20. "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." Church, the reason that we have covenant membership is we make a commitment to each other. We make a commitment to God to hold each other accountable. That means that if somebody messes up, We don't sit by and let them mess up. We have made a covenant with each other, and we in our covenant, we say that we will hold each other accountable. So if I mess up, I expect Scott to come say, "Hey, Artie, you messed up. Now, do it in love, Scott. Don't drag me over the coals, but do it in love." But that's his responsibility. Even though I'm the pastor, I am to be held accountable by you as the members of the church. And vice versa, you are to hold each other accountable. And I even mentioned last week that used to be that in every church, you had a church covenant that was plastered up in the front on the wall, up in the front of the church. You guys remember those? I have not seen one in a church except for an old school church in a long, long time. Did you guys know that we here at Crestview Baptist Church, we have a church covenant? We don't ever talk about it, but we have one, and it is in our bylaws. And those bylaws were voted on by the membership of this church and passed and are now part of who we say we are and how we do things. Now, in my research this past week, I was looking at different church covenants and about what all these theologians have to say about church covenants. And the majority of people that I was reading said that we shouldn't have a church covenant because a church covenant is basically giving all the control and authority to the pastor. Well, the pastor is to be held accountable. I mean, the Bible says that the pastor has a lot on him. That the pastor is the one that has to lead and protect and teach the people. And that he will be held to a higher standard according to God than others, because we're responsible for how we lead. But you know what? Priesthood of the believer says that you're all responsible for yourselves. That you don't have to go through me to get to God. That you're responsible for your own self. You're responsible. But the Bible also tells that we're responsible for each other, because it says that if we cause a brother to stumble, it is better to have a millstone tied around our neck and cast into the deepest part of the sea. So we have responsibility for each other. Time and time again, Paul teaches us and tells us to support each other, to pray for each other, to bear one another's burdens. We have a responsibility to each other. That means that if Renda does something that puts a black eye on the name of Jesus Christ, that Joanne, as a fellow member of the church, can go to her and say, "Hey, this isn't right. Look at what you're doing." Does that mean that Joanne is judging her? No. That means that she's holding her accountable to live the way she says she's going to live. And I want us to look at our church covenant. It's in the bulletins on the back of my sermon notes. It is there. It's also going to be on the screen if you don't have a bulletin. And this, when you become a member of Crestview Baptist Church, this is what you're agreeing to. This is what you say that you will go by and how we are to conduct ourselves. It says, "We, the members of Crestview Baptist Church Incorporated, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God." Now, who does it say that we are being led by? The Spirit of God. Notice there is not one single preacher mentioned there. Who is the head of the church? Christ. "To receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized by immersion in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, enter into a covenant with each other as one body in Christ." Notice the order that it went in. Accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then you enter into membership. You are not baptized into membership. Membership comes after baptism. We therefore agree by the help of the Holy Spirit and with the Bible, the inspired Word of God, as our guide, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church, to promote spirituality, to sustain its worship, discipline, and doctrine, to observe the church ordinances of believers' baptism and the Lord's Supper as authorized by our local church, to contribute cheerfully and regularly of God's tithes and our offerings to the support of the ministry of our church and to the spread of the gospel to all nations. We agree to encourage personal and family devotions, to educate our children according to our faith, to seek the salvation of the unbeliever, to be just in our dealings, reliable in our responsibilities, an example to those around us, to abstain from the sale and use of substances harmful to our bodies, which are the temples of God, to use our influence to combat the use of all such harmful substances, and to work untiringly for the advancement of the kingdom of our Savior by witnessing in words and actions. Just don't say it, but live it. We agree to walk in Christian harmony and watchfulness, giving and receiving assistance with meekness and affection, to pray for one another, to help each other in sickness and sorrow, to be slow to get angry, to always be eager for reconciliation, seeking it without delay. We further agree that when we move from this area, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. That is the covenant that we have here at Crestview Baptist Church. And when you join as a member of our church, what you are doing is you are agreeing to abide by this covenant. And when I or another pastor ask that if you will receive this person into our fellowship, if they come forward and join the church, and we say, will you receive this person into your fellowship, into our fellowship, we are not voting to receive this person. What we are doing is we are affirming our covenant with them. A lot of people think that we have to vote somebody into our church. No, we are not a club. You don't have to get voted in. I said last week the two requirements to become members of our church is salvation and believer's baptism. Those are the only two requirements. What we are doing is we're affirming to that person that we are going to abide by the covenant with them. We're accepting them into our fellowship. We're asking them to hold us accountable, but at the same time, we're going to hold them accountable to live as Jesus Christ did. We are not asking people to live by my standards or your standards. We're asking them that if you belong to this church, you're going to live by God's standards. And church, we cannot do it by ourselves. For one thing, that if we try to do it by ourselves, we're going to fail miserably. This drives me crazy when she does this, but even on the way to church this morning, Ginger looks at me and she goes, don't you need to slow down a little bit? Oh, it climbs all over me when she does it too. I'm 52 years old. I don't need somebody telling me when to speed up, when to slow down. But the thing is the speed limit sign said 45 miles an hour, or 35, excuse me, and I'm going 45. Okay? Is it impolite to tell your wife to be quiet in church? That's exactly my point. Whether or not I like it, she's trying to hold me accountable. Because I've got a 15-year-old daughter that's getting ready to turn 16, and she's getting ready to go take her driver's test, and guess who she's watching to learn how to drive? I've seen you drive, Wanda. You ain't no slowpoke. She can't say that. But that's the thing, people. Being a Christian means that we become accountable not only to God, but to each other. And we are to hold each other accountable. And we're not going to like it. But in this covenant that we agree to and that our church voted on, the members of our church voted to accept this and to live by this, means that even though we may not like it, we're going to have to deal with it because we got to accept it, because that's our jobs as brothers and sisters in Christ, is that iron sharpens iron. That means that we are going to hold each other accountable to help make us as much like Christ as Christ as we possibly can be here on earth. Because the world is watching us. And they want to know if we really believe and we're really going to live the way we say we believe and live. And to a lot of us, that doesn't mean spit. We don't want to be held accountable. We don't want somebody telling us, hey, you're wrong. We want to be able to do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, however we want to do it. And you know, the children of Israel did that a lot. And they ended up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't want to do it the way God said to do it. And church, I don't want us to wander around in a wilderness for 40 years. We need to follow God. And we need to hold each other accountable to be able to do that. Now, what I am telling you is that you're not coming up into somebody's face and you're hitting them in the head with the Bible. That's not what I'm telling you to do. Please don't do that. But I'm telling you in the spirit of love that we need to hold each other accountable because we love each other. Just like a family. Parents, if your kids mess up, are you going to say something about it? Yes. Are you going to do it because you hate them? No. You do it because you love them. And you want to see them succeed. So you're going to say something. You're going to hold them accountable. Does that mean they're going to be perfect? No. And church, I'm going to tell you something. There is no way in the world that I am perfect. I am far from it. I am a sinner saved by grace and nothing more. Amen. Even though that I have been accepted and called to serve the local church as a pastor, I am nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a sinner saved by grace. But sometimes we forget that. And we want to hold other people to a standard that we don't live up to ourselves. And we need to remember that we are a sinner saved by grace. And lovingly we are to hold each other accountable to living a life that lives up to the name. The word Christian has been so messed up and watered down in our society today. But in the very beginning, when the name was first used in Antioch, it was basically saying, you little Jesus. The word Christian means Christ-like. It was meant as an insult. But they didn't understand that the highest compliment you could pay to somebody that had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and they walked in the way, as it was called then, was to tell them that they were just like Jesus. Church, when you tell somebody you're a Christian, you're not telling them that you go to Crestview Baptist Church. You're not telling them who you voted for. You're not telling them who you dislike, who you like. What you are telling them that is, I am like my Savior. But does your life show that? Our covenant says not only will we speak it, but we will live it in word and deed. That's the practicality of covenant membership, is that we lift each other up, that we accomplish more together, that we hold each other accountable, and with Jesus Christ in our midst, and He promises us that if two or more are gathered in His name, He will be there in the middle of them. And with Him in the middle of us, a three-twined cord cannot be easily broken. We have to keep God in the middle of our covenant. We have to trust Him. And we have to hold each other accountable. And if we do that, we become so strong that there is not a single thing that Satan can do to break us apart. That is a bond that cannot easily be broken. And that's the practicality. That's the necessity of covenant membership in a church. As you come together and agree to live by the covenant is not there to lord over people. It is not there to make somebody superior. It is not there to keep anybody down. Because look what it says at the very end of that covenant. That if we leave this place, as soon as possible, we'll find another body to join. It doesn't say that you have to stay here. It doesn't say that you have to receive a vote of the church to be able to be released from your membership. What it says is that while you are here, you will do everything within your power to live as Jesus Christ. And when you leave here, that you will join another body and continue living as Jesus Christ would have you live. Holding each other accountable. Accepting the correction and guidance of those around you to help you grow and grow to be as much like Christ as humanly possible here on earth. That's the practical part of being a member of a local church. That's what it means to be a member here at Crestview Baptist Church. So now, as we've come to this time, it's time for you to make a decision. What is God asking you to do? Has the Holy Spirit been convicting you, telling you you need to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If He is telling you that, don't leave this place today without getting that taken care of. I would be more than happy to talk to you. There's others that would be love to be able to talk to you about how to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you've done that and you want to be obedient and follow Him in baptism and show the world exactly what has happened to your life by identifying with Christ through baptism, we would love to be able to do that. And if you've done both of those things and God is saying, this is where you need to join, this is where you need to be part of this fellowship, I would love to have you come forward and talk to me about that. Whatever it is God is telling you to do, if you need to come pray, you need to go talk to somebody else, take care of that right now there in this time. This is your opportunity to do what God is telling you to do.
Would you stand as we sing?